Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to go into God's Word right now. Go to Matthew chapter 13, if you could please. Matthew 13. I want to share a lesson with you entitled Seed Time and Harvest, Preparing for Advance in a Time of Crisis. Right? We're not preparing to go backwards. We're preparing to advance, preparing for advance, even in the midst of a time of crisis. Bring a lesson from Matthew chapter 13 about the parable of the sower. As a matter of fact, this parable is called the parable of parables. This parable unlocks the revelation of all parables and what parables are designed to do, why Jesus spoke parables. And I want us to pay attention because there's information here and insight here that you need and I need for the season in which we're now living. Matthew 13, before I begin, hold your Bible up. Let's make a statement of our expectation in God. Hold your device, whatever it is. Say, Lord, I thank you for your word. Say that, Lord, I thank you for your word. Because of it, I am who you said I am. I have what you said I have. And I can do what you said I can do. Lord, by your word and through your Holy Spirit, I'm anointed to hear words that bring wisdom, understanding, insight, revelation, and transformation for my spirit, my soul, my body, and my circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. All right, Matthew chapter 13. Please go there. I'm going to read from verse 3. Jesus said, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, I want you to recognize that Jesus is talking about sowing seed in the ground, but it's a parable about conditions of our hearts. Four conditions: wayside condition, stony condition, thorny or weed condition, and finally, good ground. It's important to pay attention to your heart. Pay attention to where you are with God, with His Word, because this is not the season to be unreceptive to what God has to say and what God wants to do. Jesus spoke that parable. He was finished, and some left. But the disciples said, "Lord, what do you mean by this? Explain this to us." At verse 10, it says, "And his disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus said, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Now, please note, he said, "You and them." You were the people who inquired, who were curious, who wanted to know. He said, "It's given to you, disciples, to know. But to them, those that are walking away, those who wouldn't pay attention, who wouldn't stay around, it said it's not for them to know." So God spoke parable. God spoke parables because he wasn't trying to talk to people who weren't trying to listen. Jesus has always shown us, and to this day, God does some things in mystery because God is not trying to pull on people who don't want to hear, who don't care. He wants people who have ears to hear. And I pray right now, you have ears to hear. Not just now, but your whole lifestyle is ears to hear. So going on, it says this, verse 12, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Again, you and them. You are among those who have. And to he who has, more will be given. Has what? Well, has ears to hear. Has desire for God. Has willingness. Whatever. If you have it, you'll get more. But he said also, but those who don't have ears to hear, who don't care about what God is saying, what God is doing, even what they have will be taken away from them. I should add, for those who have, he says, more will be given and you'll have an abundance, an abundance. Even in this season right here, God can do all things. God can bring abundance. There's no limit to what God can do. Even in a pandemic, God can bless you with abundance. Verse 13, therefore, he's explaining why. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So it sounds kind of harsh, but I'm telling you, the Lord is not begging people to listen. He's not fighting over top all the noise they create in their lives. He won't turn the TV off and say, please listen to me. You must have ears to hear. That is our responsibility, and we have grace for that. Let's examine the characteristics of them or they. Again, verse 14, it says this, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. Right? So people who don't have ears to hear, even when they're listening to something, they don't understand it. Even when they see something, they don't perceive it. If the heart's not willing to receive from God, nothing from God will stick. Verse 15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand and their heart should turn so that I should heal them. It's amazing that God is wanting to help people. It's his desire to bless people. It is his will to heal. So it's not God's fault that people are not healed. People must pay attention. Now listen, you can't heal yourself. You can't make your life better, but you can pay attention. And that is the beginning of all the things that God wants to bring into one's life. Now again, characteristics of you, right? He talked about you as disciples and them as those who didn't have ears to hear. Watch this, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So we're blessed today. The disciples on down to today are blessed. Even the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel, these great prophets, because they weren't living in the right season of time, there are things that they never saw. They believed for it. They had hope. But we're actually experiencing the very things that the Lord talked about. For example, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter said, oh, this is that of which the prophet Joel talked about. So Peter was recognizing they're living. He was living in the exact moment that Joel talked about when he said he'll pour his spirit out and young men will have dreams and there'll be prophecies and all this would happen. So Peter recognized this is that. We're living in a moment. You know what? Today, people of God, we're living in moments that Jesus prophesied about. We're living in a season where we're experiencing God's best, and we're also experiencing trouble in the world. He said wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, COVID-19, earthquakes, we've seen that. So we're seeing things happening all around us. So we are aware. We are fully aware. That's why it's important to pay attention to God. It's important in this season to have ears to hear and be among those that Christ said to you it has been given. and not among those, he says, to them it has not been given. So Jesus explained this parable for those who had ears to hear. Watch what he said here. Four things he talked about, four conditions. He said, first of all, some seed fell by the wayside. Now, the wayside, in context, when they had gardens in that part of the world back then, they were somewhat like today, where we have roads, you have pathways to walk between the gardens. And so where the people would walk through the garden to get through it or around it was the wayside, it's a path. Well, if the seed fell on those hard paths, it could not take root. In fact, the birds just came and took the seed and had dinner from that seed. The second condition was stony or shallow ground, soil. The soil was shallow, and so that not much earth. So when the seed began to sprout, it couldn't go deep. Third condition was that some seed fell among thorns or weeds, and those weeds sprang up and choked the word. Now, I want to share with you a video because I'm calling this thorn condition distractions. In this season, we have to be very careful about distractions because this pandemic is very distracting. It is certainly newsworthy. We must pay attention to it, but don't be distracted by it or distracted from God's word. Watch this video. It explains the dangers of distractions.
Sometimes our mind wanders, and when we snap back to reality, we have no idea what we missed or how long we were gone. Daydreaming isn't the only thing that causes this inattention blindness. When we talk on the phone while driving, there are periods when we go blind to our environment without realizing it. So billboards, cars, kids playing, even stop signs and red lights can pass us by unnoticed. Certain things may seem harmless, but some activities just aren't safe to combine. Our brain is not wired to pay attention to more than one complex task at a time. What we're actually doing when we think we're multitasking is quickly shifting our focus from one activity to another. So while our mind is engaged in applying makeup, arguing with backseat drivers, fumbling for a water bottle, or a conversation, it's blind to the road. In fact, drivers are 4 times more likely to crash while talking on the phone, and 23 times more likely while texting. Driving can feel uneventful, but it really takes our full attention to keep the car on the road. We're surrounded by distractions that can hijack our focus. Whether we let them is up to us.
So we don't want to be distracted, right? Naturally or spiritually. Now, the fourth condition is our ideal condition. He says, but other seed fell on good ground, ready to receive, and it yielded a crop. So he begins to explain and unpack this revelation to his disciples. Let's go deeper now. Now, this wayside, again, the wayside is a place that's hard, it's unreceptive. And sometimes we find ourselves not prepared to hear God's word. Sometimes we're not paying attention. Sometimes we're distracted. Sometimes we're not in the right mood. Well, we should not think about being in a good mood or looking for a feeling. Just decide, I'm going to pay attention to what God has to say. And so in Palestine, these fields were in long, narrow strips, and the ground between the strips was a right of way. People just walk right through there, okay? And that's why you just can't plant on a path. And the stony soil was shallow. It had a thin layer of soil over limestone rock. It looked like normal soil, but when you plant it, there was no depth. And that speaks to us as well. Sometimes people aren't prepared to receive the word. They say amen, hallelujah. They hear a sermon, but there's no depth in them. And what happens is, as the parable goes on to talk about in the explanation, because it lacked depth, when the sun came up and the heat came, and because it had no depth, it would just shrivel up. The heat would just destroy the growth potential of that particular new plant. Now, this third condition, again, I'm focusing here because of the times we're living in. But thorny soil was full of weeds and distractions. And the dormant weeds grew together. But the weeds were so strong that they choked the life out of the seed, the seedling. So Matthew 13:22, Jesus said this, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Now this is the condition I want to highlight in our day. Before we had to limit the services, people came and they said amen, they jumped up and down, we rejoiced, they had a great time. And now that we don't have that opportunity, you have to receive God's word straight up. I mean, sit in your chair and read the Bible and receive word without the preacher preaching it, without the choir singing it, without someone saying amen all around you. And so that now we find a condition where if we let the cares of this world come up, the Bible says those cares can choke the word and he or we become unfruitful. And there is no bigger care in this world right now than coronavirus, COVID-19. It's obviously a care, and it's a warranted care. We're not ignoring it. It's not as was thought by some early on. It's not some false news, fake news. You know, it's not a conspiracy theory, and we know it's real. But yet, even though that is real, we don't want to let the care of that, or the care of murders in our city, or the care of the price of gas, which is that way down now, or the care of anything, the cares of this world, they can choke the word of God in you. And my concern is, if we let the word become choked in us in this season, when this season's over, guess what? You're not ready for the next season. Because God intends to bring us forward and through this stuff, we're going to survive and thrive, recover. Listen, we're going to survive, recover, and thrive. If we've continued to sow seed, and if we're not being choked by the cares of the world in this season. Please hear that. So Jesus then described the condition, the ideal condition, he said, in Matthew 13 and 23, he received seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, there is no reason why you cannot continue to produce, harvest, be productive in your life. We can't do all we want to do, but we can do a lot more than we think we can do if we'll continue to pay attention to what God has to say. That good ground, when the seed goes in, when your heart is prepared, it will produce a harvest up to 100-fold, 100 times what was put in. That's amazing. So then hearing and receiving is a matter of conditions of the heart and God's timing, kairos. Now, kairos, there's two words for time in the Bible. There's chronos, which is time of day, and there's kairos, which is opportunity. Which is opportunity. And so kairos represents that season where God wants to do something. It's a moment in time. It's an opportunity, a season. And so it's important to recognize that hearing and receiving are a matter of both your heart condition being correct and God's time and opportunity being available to you. That's why it's important. Don't be distracted, because the Lord may want to do something in the middle of a pandemic. All right. God is still working. Y'all listen, all our problems are on earth. We have no problems in heaven. This is a test for us, not a test for God. And that don't think the word of God has changed. No, nothing's changed where God is concerned, where his kingdom is concerned, where we're concerned. Nothing essential has changed. Only circumstances have changed. So the best way to stop being distracted, listen to me, is to learn how to focus. That's just simple insight. The best way to stop being distracted is start focusing. Obviously, if somebody is texting and driving, you know the problem with that. That's a major problem. It's a simple solution. Focus. Focus. Say focus. Say, Lord, help me focus. Come on, say it. Lord, help me focus. Say, I will focus. How about that? Say, I will focus. Because God can't make you focus, so be willing to focus. Let's discuss now the power of sowing in obedience to God. We've established the fact that seed in the soil represents conditions of the heart. There's wayside, seed never went in. There's stony ground, no depth. Then there's thorny, representing the weeds choking. Then there's good ground. That's the ideal state. Now go to Genesis 26. Let's talk about Isaac. Something he did in a season, in a pandemic, if you will, in his time. The Bible says in Genesis 26, verse 1, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistines, of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Verse 6, I love this. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Definition of that translation, he was obedient. Because a famine is a bad thing. A famine is often a result of crops failing, a lack of food, sometimes it's drought. All kinds of conditions that cause a famine. A famine was a desperate, it was a pandemic in that sense. And yet, the instinct Isaac had was to leave and go to down to Egypt. Just get out of here. But God spoke to him and said, don't go to Egypt. Dwell in this land. Stay right here. And he said, I will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I have given these lands. See, if God gives you something and conditions around you begin to go crazy and haywire, God's promise hadn't changed. We walk by faith, not by sight. We can't go by how we see always. If God made a promise, if God gave you something and then conditions change, like things have changed now, I'm going to listen closer to God, realizing this is an attack upon his purpose in my life. And no doubt that God anticipated that. He saw it. He allowed it. And therefore, he gave us the grace and the faith to stand up and be faithful in the middle of the crisis. Now watch this. The Bible says in Genesis 26, going on, verse 12, so Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Is that clear? Is that clear what he said there? Now watch this. Now, sowing in the land during a time of famine, that land, that soil was not ideal. That soil was not ideal for sowing. But because he obeyed God and put his seed in there at God's direction, God blessed the man and God made that seed grow. You know, God can do things in conditions where people think nothing can be done. I've seen it many times. I've seen God work in our ministry, in my life. I've seen God do things that there was no way humanly possible for that to be done. But God is a God who keeps his promises. And if God makes you a promise and the conditions change, his promise don't change. Amen, somebody. His promise does not change if conditions change. That's an important word for right now in this crisis, this pandemic. His promises haven't changed. Nothing has changed where God's concerned. He wants to see if we're going to stand in his word, in his grace, love one another, continue to sow and give and serve as much as we can, because nothing in God's promise has changed, so our response to God should not change. Please hear that. The Bible says, He had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and a great number of servants. Well, watch this. So the Philistines envied him. Lessons from Isaac. Lessons for us in this season right now, in this pandemic we're living through right now. Number one, resist the urge to be frightened and flee. Now, this type of condition here can cause lots of fear. I've seen a lot of fear in people, more than I expected to see, even from some believers. We all know what 2 Timothy 1 says, I don't have a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. People are saying that, but I don't see it lived the way I believe we could live it. Now, I'm not saying if you are not afraid, you don't take precautions, you don't wash your hands and sanitize and even wear a mask around people. All that is just precautions, and that's wisdom. But listen, if you got a mask on in the middle of the field, in the park, nobody around you, that's not precaution, that is fear. So understand, we don't want to cross the line between exercising wisdom and walking in fear, because fear is a distraction, and that frightened, fleeing spirit is going to make you run away from what God has for you. So do not let fear come in, all right? In fact, you ought to take walks down the street. Take a walk. Go somewhere that you know that's permissible. Parks, and take a walk, because prove to yourself, I don't have fear here. I'm not going to walk. I mean, if you're afraid of something, go do it. Hear me? If you're afraid of something that's irrational, go do it. Because the spirit of fear works like this. For example, now if I see a mad dog right in front of me, I'll be afraid of that. Because fear will heighten my senses. Fear, properly exercised, focuses you, right? So if I saw a mad dog, I'm gonna either talk him down. You can command a dog, unless he's truly crazy. Or I'm gonna back up slowly. Or I'm gonna just, get up out of there some way. In other words, that's a real fear. Now, if I hear a dog bark from a block away and I'm afraid, that's the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear acts on imagined things, imagined scenarios. The spirit of fear thinks it and feels fear. So don't confess that scripture anymore. Say, Lord, forgive me of my fear. Deliver me. Let's start there. And then we can go and talk about, I have no spirit of fear. Don't say things that aren't true. Amen. Faith does not, faith calls things that are not as though they were. Faith does not call things that are as though they're not. There's no denial in the faith walk. Please hear that. Number two, second lesson from Isaac. When conditions change, make adjustments and remain obedient to God. That's right. Conditions have changed. We can't have church services, but we still worship at home. Amen. Conditions have changed. We can't gather physically. We can gather on Zoom and gather with FaceTime. We can find ways to gather. Make adjustments, but remain obedient to God. Number three, sowing is our business. Reaping is God's business. So God told Isaac to stay in the land. And he sowed. That was his business. But then the reaping of the harvest is God's business. So you just do what God told you to do and leave the results to God. Number four, Bible says that the Philistines envied him. Yeah, he was making progress. His crops were growing. Their stuff was all messed up. They were in famine. The effects of famine were beating them down. Here God is prospering him. In the same year, he sowed. Listen, y'all, people will envy your progress. But don't give energy to them, right? When you start doing things well and God's helping you and blessing you, giving you ideas, you're doing stuff, folks are like, what's he doing now? Don't give energy to that. Save your energy. You know what I'm saying? Save it. You need it, all right? Folks, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Keep your peace of mind. Keep it. Don't give people a piece of your mind. Don't give them anything. Some folk don't deserve nothing but prayer from you and some kind of help if they need it. But don't give energy to people who are envious, who don't respect you, who don't honor you. You don't need those folk. You want to help them as much as you can, but do not lose sleep and spend energy on people like on Philistines. You know, we still got Philistines today. Don't spend time with them, except to pray for them and to help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I trust you are blessed by this lesson. I believe it's a timely word. I trust you will, if you are coming in late, go back and watch the on-demand version of this. We'll have it on our website. You can watch it again or get the podcast. I just believe with all my heart that we're living in a season where seed time and harvest is still in play. Like I said earlier, the farmers are going out in their fields, even though there's lockdown. They are still going to go out in those tractors. They're going to sow their fields. They're going to sow the fields because if they don't sow, they're not going to reap, right? And so some things are non-negotiable. I got to sow. I'm giving to people. I mean, financially, I'm giving my time to people, my prayers, my attention. You need to be a sower and a giver because the seed time and harvest, right? It's time for sowing and the harvest come later. And really, seed time is every time. My point, though, is you must recognize, especially in conditions like these, that the temptation is to be distracted and not sow. And then what happens? This season will pass and you won't be ready for the next season. All right? God bless you. Let me say that if you need prayer and you're on our church online platform, there's a chat area there. Please let us know you need prayer. Or also you can just call us or use one of the online forms to connect with us. Let us know. We have a prayer line, 317-205-6000 is our church number. Please call the number. It's a voicemail. We will call you back. Email us at nccindy@gmail.com.